2 Corinthians chapter 13.
Passage where we've been in this text for quite some time. And I got a hold of something today that's got a hold of me, and it could get big. In fact, it could probably be a series in itself. And if I get on that one, we might get some buried deep. We may not know what's going on. But 2 Corinthians 13, we'll try to just deal with it tonight. It may come back at a later time. Of course, whatever the Lord wants to be the main thing. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Heavenly Father, we pray you'll take the Word of God and the message tonight. Use it, Father, for your glory. We thank you for what you did this morning. Lord, we're grateful, God. You've let us see what is available for us as a people of God, even in the midst of a wicked and ungodly day that we live in. Father, the people of God still have access to the glory of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the working of God. And I pray that we, the people of God, Lord, will desire that, Lord, and we'll fall in love with that, Lord, in this day and hour in which we live. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Help us to preach like we will wish we had when we stand to give an account one of these days. And we'll love you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Examine yourself. We've been preaching on the subject, examination of salvation. Some of you have been examining yourself, and all of us need to be. I believe that's what's admonished here in this passage to every saved person, or to examine yourself to see there whether you really are truly in the faith. I mean, if I'm saved, I really want to know it. Amen? And I do know it. But I'm just saying that everybody ought to have a desire to say, if I'm lost, I really want to know it. If I'm saved, I really want to know it. And I believe we can know that. I don't believe that the grace of God should be frustrated. I don't think we should make it so complicated that nobody is saved or nobody can get saved or none of that. But I tell you what, you ought to examine yourself. And some of you probably have, no doubt. We've seen some folk get saved. And some maybe have examined yourself and looked back in your life and you don't see very little there. And you've not done anything with it. Maybe for pride, wondering, what will people think of me? And then there's been some probably that's just not even done it at all, not even examined yourself. Well, I want you to know it's not my idea. It is God's Word that tells us to do that. Well, anyway, to make a long story short and get on into the meat of the message tonight, because I've got quite a bit of ground I'd like to cover tonight, if the Lord will help me. And I know some of you took a deep breath right there and said, oh, Jesus, we're in for the long haul. Well, y'all didn't get any this morning, so you have to get a double dose tonight. But we're talking about now, we've done preached out of this verse and looked at different words down through this verse, and we've started last time showing some different things that should serve as a rule by which we can examine ourselves. And we talked about last week the Word of God. The Word of God should be an evidence that we are saved. Now, what we dealt with last week is the effects the Word of God ought to have in your life. Your attachment to it. The importance of it in your life. The necessity of it. Amen. In your life. Because the Word of God is instrumental in you getting saved. And we pointed out several verses to show that. Now, I want you to turn to read a verse with me, please, upon that subject. There in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 13, talking about the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word itself. How important is it to you? Amen. Is it a necessity in your life? Can you go without it? Can you go days without the Word of God? Does it bother you to go days without the Word of God? My friend, to me, that is an indicator, at least, of a spiritual problem. I'm not saying you're lost because I don't have that authority. But I'll tell you that ought to indicate a spiritual problem. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. I just want to show you this verse so you can mark it down beside that Word of God point. And then we want to move on to the second point tonight. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, But as it is in truth, the Word of God, and here it is, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. God is saying in that verse, you can tell those that believe because of an effectual working of the Word of God in their life. That's what the Bible says. It's not my opinion on it. It's what the Bible says. Amen. Amen. That's what the Bible said now. You received the Word of God, which you heard of us. Amen. You received it not as the Word of men, but as it is written in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I like that. And notice, if you'd like to just mark those three letters on the end of work, worketh. Underline them little, the E-T-H. That a Word of God which effectually worketh, not worked, E-D, that put it in a past, but worketh also in you that believe. So there's your proof text for that particular point. Number two, let's go now. I want to deal with a second thing that ought to be and will be true in a person's life that is saved. Not only that, Word of God. Number two, the work of God. The work of God. I want to read several verses, and then we're going to come back to Philippians 1:6 and preach tonight the message. Let's turn to Philippians 1:6. And we're going to just flip through here and we're going to read some verses, and I want you to follow along now. I want you to follow along. If you got your Bible, say amen.
Amen.
I want you to follow along with me. I want you to mark these verses. Get you a piece of paper. Bring your paper and pen with you when you come to church. Something might be said. A verse might be pointed out, read, that you need tomorrow. Amen. Don't depend on your comprehension. I'm telling you, don't depend on your comprehension. You get very little of what you hear. Are you listening? So if I preach 45 minutes or an hour or whatever, you only get a small portion of that. So make efforts to get all you can get. Make you some notes. Write down a few little things. Amen. That'll jar your memory to feed on the Word of God. I believe we're, let me just preach a message inside of a message right here. I believe we're really hurting ourselves, and our spirituality as individuals in our church is suffering. Why? Because when we leave church, we leave everything at church. We don't go home and study some more on what we've heard. The verse I just read there in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 ought to tell us why. We probably, instead of receiving the Word of God as a Word from God, we're receiving it as a Word from man. Those Thessalonian believers received the Word not as from man, but from God. Remember going to the Philippines, let me just comment right here. Went to the Philippines a couple years ago and preached a camp meeting over there. And I could not believe what attention that I had to preach. I could not preach long enough. In the States, I can't preach short enough. But over there, I couldn't preach long enough. And I'm talking about after they'd already heard three or four national preachers preach. And I get up and preach till I nearly pass out. And they want me to preach some more. And I asked a national pastor one time, I said, why are these people so attentive? I couldn't believe it. Nobody was sleeping. Everybody was alert. Everybody was on the edge of their pew, as it were. He said, preacher, the truth is that when you're preaching, people is acting like God's talking to them. Amen? If God Himself was standing here talking, I promise you, all of our attention would be on what's being said. Amen? But if we're thinking, well, this is just the Word of a man, then we're going to be bored somewhat. But I want us to look at some things, the Word of God. Philippians 1 and verse 6, and we'll come back to this verse and preach on this verse tonight. Philippians 1:6, Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Emphasizing in all of these verses I'm going to read, note the work of God. The work of God. Or let's turn, if you will, just continue to turn right on in Philippians chapter 2 and verse, well, let's just read verse 12 with it. Looking at verse 13 in particular. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Watch this. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Paul writing to believers, telling us there that it is God that worketh in you. I believe I can say it, and I believe there's ample scriptures to support it. Saved people are a people that God is working in. Amen. Salvation is a work of God. We're saved by works. It's just not our works. Some of you looked at me about half cross-eyed there for a second. Amen. We are saved by works, but not our works. We're saved by the working of God in our heart and in our life. Amen. Here it said, it is God which worketh. There's that ETH again. Which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do you see a work of God in your life? Or let's turn back to Ephesians. Turn back to Ephesians 1, verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? We that are saved. Saved people are believers. Isn't that right? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According to, look at this, according to the working of His mighty power. We're just going to, I mean, all these verses has got some good preaching material in it. But we're not going to deal with them tonight. We're just reading them. Chapter 2 of Ephesians. Of course, we all can quote verse 8 and 9. For the grace you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Watch verse 10. The verse that most people leaves off. For we are His, what? Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So there again we have a verse that shows, my friend, those that are saved has God working in them both to will and do of His good pleasure. Alright, chapter 3 of Ephesians. Chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me, what's this? By the effectual working of His power. Let's look at verse 20 of the same chapter. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, I'm reading these verses and we're not done yet. But I'm very disturbed by how little I see God working in people's lives. Amen. All right, let's read on. Colossians chapter 1. The counter verse or the agreeing book of Ephesians is Colossians. Look at chapter 1 and verse 29. The Bible says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Paul was a man that constantly was talking about God working in him. Amen. Or let's look at 1 Thessalonians. Well, we'll leave that one off because that's a verse that I read earlier about the effectual working of the Word of God and those that believe. Let's look at Hebrews 13:21. Hebrews 13:21. I don't hear those pages turning. Hebrews 13:21. You ought to familiarize yourself with the Word of God. Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. You ought to familiarize yourself with the books of the Bible. Amen. That's right. Wouldn't hurt a bit for you to learn the books of the Bible. That way you won't have to wonder whether Matthew is in the Old Testament or not. Or look in the table of contents to try to find a particular book of the Bible. Familiarize yourself with the book of the Word of God. Amen. That's right. That's good advice. That's good preaching. That's right. Study the Word of God. Familiarize yourself with it. Yes, sir. Some knew the Bible as well as they did the Inquirer or the TV Guide or the Kingsport Times or the latest news report. We'd have revival. That's right. But most people knows all about the latest scores and who's doing what in the sports field, but they don't have a clue what the Bible says about any particular subject. That's right. God help us. I want to know the Word of God if I don't know nothing about baseball or football or nothing else. I just throw that in there a little bit. It wouldn't hurt nothing. Look at Hebrews 13:21. Hebrews 13:21. Let's read verse 20 with it. Goes with it. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that same God that raised up Jesus is doing what in us? His desire is this, verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. What's the next three words? Working in you. That which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. There's a whole message just on that word perfect there, and we may get that in another message. Let's go back, if you will, to the book of Philippians, the chapter 1 and verse 6. Amen. You ought to be trying to memorize some scripture along the way. I know your flesh don't like that. But you ought to try to do that. Good brain exercise. Amen. That's right. Praise God for that. But in Philippians 1 and verse 6, the Bible said, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now I want to tell you, as I mentioned earlier, I am disturbed as a preacher. I am disturbed at what I'm seeing among Christianity today that even I am familiar with. And that is, I see people that seemingly are under conviction. I see people that God seems to deal with, and they want to get saved, but then soon as they get saved, it seems the work of God stops. Something's wrong with that. Something is wrong with that. And I've seen people, and you have, that have made profession. It looked as though God was working in them and on them, wanting them to be saved. And brother, they make a profession and it's over then. Very few people. Have I seen in 26 years that go from salvation into spirituality? Very few people. Very few people do I ever see develop into spiritual beings after they get saved. You know what the rule is? You know what the majority is that I see? And you know I'm telling it right because you'll be able to tell it and see it. Is that when they get saved, they act like, well, glory, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, so nothing else matters now. If all you do is treat salvation as, if I could say it this way, hell insurance. If that's all you look at salvation as, My friend, I would check up to make sure that I was really saved. Being saved and not going to hell is a wonderful fringe benefit. But I'll tell you what salvation is. And if we've got the time tonight, we could prove it from the Scripture. Salvation, brother, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a spire-tire situation. Oh God, deliver me from this condemnation. Deliver me from this guilt. Deliver me from this conviction. And then I will do my own thing and you do your own thing. That don't work. Amen. Salvation will bring you into a relationship with Jesus. Alright, let's look here. The salvation is definitely a work of God. Would you not agree with that? Amen. Salvation is not, can never be produced by your works. Never. Titus 3 and 5, the Bible says, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the renewing of the Holy Ghost and the washing of regeneration. Amen. It's not by the works of which you could do. Right. Are you listening? I talked to a lady, I was coming up from Asheville, was coming home from preaching in Greenwood, and I come up 70 out through Greenville. And I was coming up through the mountains there, the old windy road, and anyway, I'll make a long story short. I felt impressed. I've been traveling that road for probably 15 years, I guess. Never have I been impressed to stop to anybody's house. You know, I don't know nobody through there, and certainly they're way out of driving distance to RBT, but I drove by, and there on the porch of one of those houses was an old moppy-headed boy, a man with a beard in his hand, and I mean the Lord said, stop and talk to him. Of course, I drove on past trying my best to talk myself out of it, trying to talk the Lord out of it. Come on now, some of y'all done that. And I went on, the further I went, the worse it got and heavier it got on my heart. So finally I said, well, I'm gonna at least turn around and drive back by and see if I feel it again. Amen. And I turned around, drove back by and went down through, I'm talking about works now. Drove back by, and sure enough, the man wasn't on the porch this time, but there was a woman out on the porch with a beer in her hand. She waved at me, and I thought, oh, Lord. That was a sure sign God was letting that stranger wave at this stranger. Come on in here and talk to us. That's what wasn't what they meant. That's the way I took it. So I went on by, turned around again. They probably thought, who is that idiot? Why ain't running all his gas out, going up and down in front of our house? Well, I pulled in and got out, walked up on the porch like I owned the place. Amen. Because I knew God had settled in my heart to go. Anyway, on in the conversation, I began to ask them, are they saved? Do they know the Lord as their personal Savior? This woman, of course, she's one of them that said she lives off the land, you know, and all that. Amen. But anyway, I asked her that question about being saved. And she said, well, I feel good about myself. And I've got a good, clear conscience, and I can sleep at night. And I'm enjoying life. I said, ma'am, is that what you're talking about? You trusting that to go to heaven? And she was. And I've asked her the same question I've asked many. If salvation can come by you being a good person, and she went into details, and he did too, of how good they try to be, and how they try to be mind their own business, and so forth. And I asked them the question, I said, if salvation, if there, well, the Bible said, was it Ephesians, Galatians 2:21, is it? He said, if there had been a law given which could have given life, then Christ is dead in vain. And I asked them the question, I said, If y'all are clinging to this and leaning on that, my friend, I want to ask you one question. Why did Jesus die? I said, He died because there's no hope of any man, woman, boy, or girl making it to heaven on their own. Let me say this tonight. All religions of the world can be placed in two categories. There's thousands of religion, but they can all be placed in two categories. They're either preaching a do religion, or like us, We're preaching a done religion. They're preaching do as if you've got to work and you've got to endure and you've got to this and that. We're not preaching that. We're preaching it's done. It's finished. The price has been paid in full. If you could take all of the good out of every human being from Adam all the way to the last one that's ever born. Listen to me. If you could take all the good, not the bad, just the good, out of every person from Adam to the last human being that'll ever be born, pile it all up and put it in one person, it'd still make that person a sinner. They'd still be imperfect. They'd still be lacking. They'd still be insufficient. All the goodness of the world and the righteousness of mankind could never save one person. Thank God, hallelujah, Jesus Christ knew that. He knew we couldn't ever reach it. That's why the Bible said, for all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. We could never reach it. We could never measure up. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags in His sight. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. Are you listening? Oh, now I got on that. I'm telling you, salvation is a work of God. Let's deal with this verse of Scripture quickly. The first thing I want to share out of this verse, and some of them will be, I just basically mention them and I'll go on. Because I got one I want to bog in on, if I can get to it. The first thing I want you to notice in this passage, number one, is the source of the work. Paul's magnifying not his work, but he's magnifying the work of God that had been begun in them, that Paul was confident that it would begin, that it would continue until the day of Jesus Christ. But he's the source. He, see, that's simple. But you'd be surprised how many would want to take he out and put me in there. You'd be surprised how many people, even in Hawkins County, my friend, that don't look at salvation to be a he work, but rather a me work. Amen. So there is the source of that work. That's important that you know who it is. And Paul gives credit. Being confident of this very thing, that he, which hath begun a good work. It's not a church. It's not, Paul said, being confident that the church begun a good work. It wasn't that Paul was confident that the preacher had begun a good work. But he was confident that he, the only one that can do the work. Unless you get to him, you stop short. You can get to the church and be dumped and dipped and squirted and amen and all that. But I tell you, if you don't ever get to Christ, you didn't go far enough. Amen. There's a lot of people, my friend, give mental assent, give mental agreement to some promises or to some Bible facts. And they think that's far enough. I've always believed in the virgin birth. Before I was saved, and even after I'm saved. I've always believed, far as Bible facts and things of that nature, I've always believed that Jesus was real, that He lived and bled and died here on earth, and was buried and rose again. I've always believed that. But I've not always been saved. There's a movement, brother, that's going through our land that's asking people on doorsteps if they agree with some Bible knowledge, a Bible facts. They'll read them a verse and say, do you believe that? And they say, well, yeah, I do believe that. Well, then you're saved. Brother, that ain't right. That's Hollywood evangelism. That ain't right, brother. Salvation is a work of God that He does in a person's life. The source of the work. Number two, let me point out the sovereignty of the work. Don't let that word scare you. I'm not a Calvinist or hyper-Calvinist. Are you listening? I'm not even related to one. But I want to tell you what I mean by this point, sovereignty. the sovereignty of the work. I want you to notice in verse 6 it said, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath what? Begun a good work. He started it. And there was no attraction on your part for Him to start it. There wasn't nothing on your part to cause Him to do it. Let me just refresh some of your memory a little. When I got saved, I wasn't looking for Him. I wasn't interested in Him. But oh, thank God, He came calling. He came dealing. Brother, He came speaking. It was Him that began the good work in me. Hallelujah. The night I got saved, Brother Bill, I didn't go to church to get saved. I didn't have Him on my mind. I wasn't looking for Him. I had my little life going on and was tickled to death. But I want to tell you, that night the sweet Holy Ghost of God used the Word of God to prick my heart and to deal with me and start up a work. See, not just salvation's a work of God. All that pre-salvation activity is a work of God. Let me throw this scenario out, see if some of you can say amen to it. Before you ever got saved, long before you ever got saved, it may have been days, may have been weeks, might have been months, that you started noticing a dissatisfaction in you about sin. You started noticing that what I used to enjoy, what I used to think about day and night, what I'm about to have a spell, amen. What I used to live for, what I used to make plans on. I want to tell you, brother, that I noticed and you noticed that that started changing in your life. You'd go to the same dance floor, but it wasn't the same. You'd go to that same gym joint, but it wasn't the same. You'd sit on the same bar stool, but it wasn't the same. I want to tell you, you'd run with the same crowd, but it wasn't the same. I want to ask you something. Who do you think was doing that? It wasn't the devil, I'll tell you it wasn't. He'll want you to live in sin till you drop off into the regions of the damned. I'll tell you what will change your mind, what starts changing your attitude towards sin is that pre-salvation work of God. If that don't bless you tonight, I bet I can say anything else tonight that'll help you, amen. A person left to themselves, will live and die in their depravity and go into the regions of the damned with a smile on their face. Because the natural response of a man in his depraved, dead, fallen state when God speaks is to run and hide as did Adam. I'm talking about the sovereignty of that work. There was a time, there was a place in your life that you begin to notice something's happening. Something's happening. Oh, glory to God. You begin to notice something is going on. You didn't know what it was. But God was working behind the scenes, dealing with you, drawing you, working in and on your life. He's the one that initiated that work. He's the one that started it. You ought to jump up and down tonight over that word begun. He which hath begun. You could have never begun it. You could have never started it. You couldn't have got the kickstarter out and got it cranked While you was dead in trespasses and in sin, you needed somebody that could to come by and to get personal with you and to work in your life. Let me just throw this out there before we start sprouting wings and halos tonight. If it wasn't for the work of God in our life, every one of us wouldn't be on no pew tonight with a Bible in our lap, listening to old-fashioned preaching. We'd be out yonder, my friend, in the hell holes of this world, living for the devil, living for sin. We would, all of us would be. I'm here tonight, Brother Seal, thank God, because of that work of God that He begun in me. The source of the work, the sovereignty of the work. Thirdly, I done dealt with this. There's the start of the work. There's the start of the work. Can you go back in your life and see the start? You may not be able to go back before salvation and see where it all actually started to change. Where God started working. Where God started working repentance in you. You may not go back there. You just all of a sudden started noticing a difference. You may not be able to pinpoint that start. But you will be able to pinpoint that day in your life when God begun that good work in you. That's right. As I've said here in this series several times, worth repeating, if you don't have a birthday, you don't have a birth. Amen. If you never got saved nowhere in the past, you're not saved tonight. It don't matter how moral you are. It don't matter how religious you are. If there's never been a starting point, then there's no... Listen, you're not in the race if there's never been a starting. Don't worry about the finish line. You're not even in the race. Not only the source, the sovereignty, the start. But number four, the subjects. The subjects of this work. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you. And watch this right here. He's dealing with the church at Philippi, is He not? But we're reading out of the Bible, which is inspired. And when He says you, He's addressing believers. Those in the church at Philippi are no more saved than I am. And the same work that God did in them, He's done in me and everybody that's saved. There is the subjects. Every believer, listen, the truth of this verse applies to every believer. There's no believer, nowhere, no time that cannot apply and should apply verse 6. In its truth. But there's people everywhere that's claiming to go to heaven when they die. And where is that work of God? The subjects writing to you, the believers. Then let me mention number 5, the surety of the work. Paul said, being confident. Being, I like that ing on that. Being confident of this very thing. What is Paul saying here? Paul is simply saying here that he knew that the work that he's preaching about and confident in is the same work that has been done in him. And he's looking for it in others. Paul said, I'm confident because I've experienced and am experiencing this work of God in my life. Jude, the book of Jude, verse 3, talks about a common salvation. There's no salvations with an S in the Bible. One. Common salvation. Paul said, the reason I'm confident about this is because I'm saved and the same work that God's done in me, He's going to do in anybody and everybody that is saved. Amen? Oh, Paul is talking about, my friend, that surety, that confidence. My friend, Paul looked for that same work. Let me say right here, and I don't want to run no rabbits right here, but let me just say something right here. It has bothered me. I've been saved 26 years, Brother Mark, but this has bothered me. How that I can't do things, not that I want to, but I can't do things that a lot of people can. Same work, same salvation. If it's wrong for me, it's wrong for you. My question is, why is it that I get bothered about certain things, and I look at my 26 years of being saved, and I can see where God worked on this, put His finger on that, spoke to me about this, spoke to me about that. Because I want to tell you what, when I got saved, my friend, listen, God caught me. You know, I was a fish in the sea. God caught me, but I needed cleaning up.
Right. Yeah.
But He didn't try to clean me until He caught me. And after He called me, He started working in my life. He started instantly working in my life.
Yes, sir.
He started dealing with me about issues in my life, things in my life, music I listen to, places I go, people I run with, clothes, the way I would dress myself. Amen. Ain't time to pray. I'm still preaching. That's right. But it bothers me, and I wonder why it is that God dealt with me and spoke to me at times in my life about things bringing me and desiring to bring me into more and more Christ-likeness. But yet there's people everywhere that claims to name the name of Christ, that listens to all that junk and goes all them places and does all that junk, but they claim they're going to heaven when they die. I got a problem with that. I'm just going to tell you. I'm not saying I'm the only one saved. I am saying I'm the only one I know saved. And I know I'm saved because of the work of God, not just before I got saved and salvation itself, but since then. When you get saved, God immediately... I want y'all to listen to me now. When you get saved, God immediately puts into motion a sanctifying work of God. Are y'all listening? Nobody on planet Earth has ever been saved that was not also being worked on by the Spirit concerning sanctification. Can I say something right here? I want y'all to get her down, write her down. Here comes a rattly saying. If your salvation does not produce sanctification, don't expect glorification. And how many people do you know? How many people do I know that claims to make a profession, claims to be saved? And my friend, they're the same today as they was 5 years ago. There's no change in their life. They're still doing what they've been doing. They're not growing. They're not developing. There's no sanctifying work in their life. God is not interested in just saving you. When God saves you, you become His possession. Through which He works both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's right. That's right. And I could go in, I could take the rest of the time tonight telling you the things that God has put His finger on in my life since I've been saved, my friend, and has dealt with me about, and that has gone out of my life. I can tell you tonight bunches of things. But it's gone. And Paul was expressing a surety, a confidence, a persuasion that what God had done in him, God's going to do in anybody and everybody that gets saved. Saved people, my friend, are not perfect. But I'll tell you what, they don't enjoy and love sin anymore. Let me say something else right there. Saved people can do anything anybody else has done, but I'll tell you what's true with a saved person. God takes every bit of the fun out of it. If you can get out there, my friend, and hobnod around and drink your booze and, my friend, smoke your dope and pop your pills and all that bunch of junk, my friend, and fornicate and commit adultery and all. This easy believism, bunch of junk, my friend, hatched out of the bottomless pit, has filled our churches across this globe with professing believers that knows nothing about a work of God in their life.
Yeah.
Salvation is not an experience in their life. You tell me salvation is not an experience? Read about Paul on the road to Damascus. My friend, read about those two on the road to Emmaus. Read about those that got saved in the Bible. Read about the Philippian jailer. Read about Lydia, the seller of purple. Read about them, friend, and tell me that that's not a real, genuine experience with God. Amen, glory to God. I'm not going to get done. Some of you's done through. But what I like about this, that word being, I like that word I, that little ending there, that ING. Paul, I don't know how long he'd been saved when he wrote the book of Philippians, a number of years, Brother Mark. But you know what he's saying? Being confident. That is, I've not changed. I have been confident. Hey, I've been confident ever since I've been saved. And I just want everybody to know I am still being confident of this very thing. Hallelujah! I feel good in my soul. I've been saved 26 years. I'm more confident tonight of what I'm preaching than I was in the past years. Some of you's nervous. The surety of being of this work. The scene of this work. Or if you want to write down another word, the word site, S-I-T-E. The scene of this work. The site of this work. The location of this work. Where is it that God is working? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, where? Say it. They've more surely got their Bibles open and their lives open than that. Begin a good work where?
In you.
The Old Testament economy spent a lot of time working on people. The Pharisees, all their religion was trying to get people worked on the outside.